Are you looking to give your immune system a boost? This is Dr. Ronald Hoppen with a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean and produces it in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's Future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It seems that coronavirus is overshadowing all the news, but we have questions of a general nature from some of our listeners. RadioProgram@AOL.com is the place for questions. Yeah.
We have a question from Judy. My sister-in-law says the collagen peptides that she takes makes a huge difference in the way the skin on her face looks. I was wondering your thoughts on this. That's from Judy.
Okay, so of interest is that I've looked it up and there actually are some studies on collagen and skin elasticity.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say there are limited studies.
Yeah.
And, you know, one has to be concerned that they may have been sponsored, at least in part, by makers of collagen supplements.
Yeah.
But there is some plausibility to that, because collagen matrix is what keeps our skin firm, and collagen ages.
It's also a supplement that's very much in vogue now. Everybody's talking about putting their collagen powder into their smoothie, into their shake, or something like that, which is fine. As long as you're using a good quality product, don't forget the original source of collagen.
Make yourself animal hooves.
Yeah, make a big batch of chicken soup with chicken feet in it. You don't even need the chicken feet. It's optional. As long as you've got a good carcass in there with enough of the joint and the collagen and all of that will go into the broth.
I like it for its gastrointestinal benefits.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that
it tastes good.
It coats the intestinal lining. It nourishes the villi in the intestine.
Yeah.
Reduces inflammation, potentially. May help with leaky gut syndrome.
Right,
It's healing, you know. So, yeah, nature's answer.
Nature's answer.
Have a little chicken soup.
Have chicken soup. Absolutely. Have it a lot.
Chicken in the pot.
Chicken in the pot. Exactly. Exactly. Thanks for that question, Judy. Darnella writes, I'm 79 years old. My homocysteine is an 8. So how much folate should I be taking to lower this even further?
Well, it's kind of a backwards,
and how much folate is too much
it's
folate?
It's kind of a backwards way of evaluating what your folate requirements are. I mean, one measure of folate deficiency is high homocysteine. Mm. But high homocysteine could also be related to B6 or B12 or betaine metabolism.
Yes.
Or even riboflavin metabolism, B2.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you have a homocysteine of 8, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And it doesn't call for more folate to further lower it.
Mm-hmm.
Although there's some, I think, wackadoodle people who say, oh, you know, you got to get a homocysteine of 4 or 3 or something.
Yeah.
And that's simply unattainable for some people for metabolic reasons. They can't get there, no matter if they take a boatload of folate.
Or maybe they did have a homocysteine of 4 at a younger age, it's crept up.
There's some concern about folate as, excess unmetabolized folate as being potentially harmful.
Yeah.
Because methylation is a two-edged sword. Methylation both turns off oncogenes and turns on, it turns on tumor suppressors, but it may promote certain oncogenes.
Yeah.
So there are actually some studies, folic acid at least is controversial as potentially, if you have cancer, providing a growth factor to the cancer.
Yeah. Yeah. So that could be something.
So the answer is, there is no answer.
Right. Darnella, for a 79-year-old and your homocysteine is an 8, that's pretty good.
Whatever you're taking seems
to be good. So whatever you're taking should be it.
Yeah.
And she's taking a variety of supplements that have yeah. some folate in it. Too long to list right. here. But, you know, keep doing what you're doing. So, yeah, okay.
I mean, we know that, for example, folate can be helpful for staving off dementia.
Yes.
But, you know, there are so many different forms of dementia that in your...
And that has to do with homocysteine as well.
It also has to do with a multiplicity of other things, so that, you know, it's not the panacea for every case of dementia.
Yeah.
It's just one factor to keep in mind.
Right. Okay. We have another question here. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I have a lump on my finger. I was sent for an x-ray with three views. The diagnosis...
Osteoarthritis.
Degenerative changes in the digits.
Osteoarthritis.
Okay. 59-year-old female, and I've already been taking Nordic Naturals, Pro Omega. I'm taking curcumin for years. So I'm really surprised and disappointed that I've been taking these.
It's going to be amazing when, on the day of your death, they'll be gathered around your coffin at your funeral when you're 105, and they're going to say, I can't understand it. She took all those supplements. What happened?
What happened, right?
How could she have passed away?
Yeah.
You know, you may be attenuating or ameliorating the inflammation.
It could have been worse and at an earlier age. Yeah. If you weren't taking those supplements.
I know that's not a satisfactory answer, but, you know, if we did some additional evaluation, we might find that there are other, you're missing the boat on certain things, like a food intolerance, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you're having nightshades and you're susceptible to nightshades.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you have some sort of dysbiosis, some inflammatory microbiome that is promoting osteoarthritis.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe genetically you're highly prone to osteoarthritis. You know, there's certain breeds of dogs that if you ask, like, dog connoisseurs, oh, those German Shepherds, they're murder. They always get hip arthritis. And that's genetic. There is a genetic predisposition.
Yeah.
And I think there are, so we have our own human German Shepherds. You know, there's just some people who are of a breed, you know, it's not a separate species, but it's a subtype of...
They're just more prone.
Yeah.
So in addition to fish oil and curcumin, boswellian would be helpful.
Yes.
Glucosamine chondroitin could be helpful. MSM could be helpful as well. That you could take. And she's also asking, should I be afraid...
Hops extract, there's hops products.
Should I be afraid to strength train now using my 3 to 10 pound dumbbells?
No.
Because of my fingers?
No. In fact, the studies generally show that there are two ways to get really bad osteoarthritis. One is if you really pound. You pound, you know, it's like no pain, no gain, you know, like take Advil.
Right. Obliterate
the pain. And then you damage your joints, you create inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
But conversely, if you do not move,
you
become a rusty suit of armor.
True.
You know, so it's like moderate motion.
Yeah.
Even running can be a hedge against knee arthritis.
Because motion.
Yeah, because it lubricates the joints. It causes the cartilage to get a signal to regenerate.
Add some chicken soup to that.
Yeah,
and that would be great for the cartilage.
Collagen.
As well, and collagen, yes. Yes. So, yeah, consider giving up the nightshade vegetables. That's tomatoes.
You can try that.
White potatoes, eggplant, peppers of all kinds, including hot sauce. I know a lot of people would miss hot sauce.
Yeah.
That would be something. But, okay. Keep taking that fish oil and that curcumin. It's only helpful. So don't give that up. Add the boswellian, add the glucosamine chondroitin. Okay. We have an email from Shahzad.
Shahzad?
Shahzad.
I know about Scheherazade.
Right.
1001 Nights, but
yes,
Shahzad.
Yes. From Shahzad. Hello, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. What, in your opinion, are the net benefits of consuming powdered L-glutamine with a whey protein shake or without a whey protein shake? Should it be consumed before or after exercise?
Definitely after. Because you want to actually, when the muscles are in effect crying out for repair, you want to provide the branch chain amino acids, which the whey is rich in.
Yeah.
Now, glutamine is, I don't believe is a branch chain amino acid, but it's a precursor to glutathione.
Yes.
Which could be helpful.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Very helpful. Glutamine is also the preferred.
Also induces growth hormone.
Yes, yes. So it helps immunity. The branched chain amino acids in your whey protein are leucine, isoleucine, valine.
Whey seems to be a way to go for athletes. Yeah. You know, there are actually some studies that suggest that it is helpful for muscle repair and muscle development.
Yeah, yeah. Even people with slight dairy allergy are often able to tolerate whey, although I don't go and suggest it.
For someone who has anaphylaxis.
No, you know, no, 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 absolutely
not. Their
throat
closes or something like that.
But, no,
you know,
no,
if you sneeze with dairy or something, you know, that's broken down. You're getting a highly purified whey product. It's usually, by the way, the whey is from the lactalbumin. As opposed to the casein, most people who are sensitive to dairy are sensitive to the casein portion.
Yes, so there's not that's the problematic protein.
You know, Little Miss Muffet sat in her tuffet eating her curds and whey.
Yeah.
Whey is lactalbumin and curds is casein. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the old process by which they make cheese, which in German is called Käse, from like casein, that's the casein part. You know, that's, you know, when you did a butter churn, that's how you'd separate the whey, which is buttermilk. Mm-hmm. And you would get the curds, and the curds would become the basis for cheese, which you could then, you know, ferment in.
And the whey would otherwise be discarded unless used for buttermilk.
Right.
Or something that would be.
But now it's a byproduct of the milk, of the cheese industry. They're taking the whey and they're selling it back to you as whey.
Exactly.
Powder.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Shahzad, take it afterwards. You could take your whey protein with the glutamine. It's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
Or without.
Yeah, but after is definitely.
Perfectly fine.
Yeah.
After is the way to go. And by the way, after your exercise, there's a 45 to 60 minute window, which is optimal for eating something or taking a whey protein supplement like that.
Yeah, that's what I do.
So that helps. Very good. Very good. This comes from Michael. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. If your inflammatory bowel disease patients don't respond as well as they or you would like to the specific carbohydrate diet, what medications, if any, do you prescribe in conjunction with the diet?
You know, Pentasa or something like that, which is an aminosalicylate. You know, that's the oldest, old-fashioned medications, and they're not all that effective, but they're mild.
They're mild.
And then there's prednisone for a flare, you know, which is not great, but for a short term, it can sort of obliterate things. Sometimes antibiotics for a while, you know, like a course of Flagyl has sometimes been used for a while to clean out the intestine. That's been shown to be helpful. But then there's the immunosuppressive medications, which I don't prescribe. I usually relegate that to a gastroenterologist because I think it requires an experienced gastro, especially as there are, you know, lots of new medications that they need to learn about and have experience administering. I prefer to hand off to a gastro if we really need to use those types of medications. You know, there's a lot of them now.
Michael also says perhaps the specific carbohydrate diet and medication would allow the medication to be effective at lower doses.
Yes, absolutely.
That's always an objective, is to get everything under control with the diet so that you're able to reduce medication.
That's really, and it's not a defeat if you have to be on medication.
It's not.
For a while.
It's not.
So the goal is to be on less medication.
Yeah.
And by the way, the medication doesn't always work.
True.
You know, so you want to sometimes, if, like, okay, I mean, if there's a fire in your house. This is an analogy I use. You know, the firemen come and they come with their boots and their axes and their water. And they say, no, hold it, hold it. What can I do to prevent fire? How did this fire start in the place? And they say, get the hell out of the way. We're going to put out this fire. We can't ask this question. Your house is on fire. So similarly, when you have a crisis, you've got to use some medications to put the fire out.
Right.
And you can, you know, what are the underlying causes? Were you having, you know, foods that you're intolerant to, microparticles. Did you have an imbalanced microbiome?
Right.
Did you have a nutritional deficiency that, you know, like a zinc deficiency or, you know,
inadequate
vitamin D or
something? Was there some kind of stress you underwent previously?
It takes time to affect repair. So, you know, you want to buy some time sometimes with the medication. I know many of my patients prefer not to go on medication. Sometimes I say it's okay. Try the diet for a while and, you know, backup plan is in three, you know, give 90 days if you're not better.
Yeah.
You'll have to go on the medication. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
at least to get things under control.
Yeah,
that's where medical management is absolutely
appropriate.
It's like
poker. You got to know when to hold them, and you got to know when to fold them. You know,
right?
You know, there's a song about that.
Yeah, yeah. Michael, thank you for that very thoughtful question. Okay. Oh, we have one from Susan.
What I don't like, by the way, is when I see those hints, you know, about those new immunosuppressive medications, they go, do you have ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease? And it's just like a miserable person who wanted to go out to a party or something. And they had to, like, you know, take off their clothes, put on their pajamas. You know, they were like wearing their camping gear, and then they go to bed. So then they take the medication. They go out like, man, I'm going out for pizza. Yeah. You know, it's like, no, that's not what the medication is for.
Exactly.
So you can eat, you know, like a chili dog.
Right, like with Larry the Cable Guy on a Pepsi commercial. You could eat that chili dog now if you take your Pepsi.
No.
Oh
no.
My.
I see the
Don't eat that.
Often those are food themed and I'm going, "No."
No, that's not it.
It's not to make you bulletproof, you know, so that you can, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'll eat a little more of this today and take a little more Lipitor, as some of my relatives might say. Oh, my. Yeah, that's not the way to do that either. Yes.
It's like you must be fun at family gatherings.
Oh, my God.
You just zip it.
Yeah, they just kind of look at me for my reaction. I just, that's okay.
You're not going to get hooked in.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to bite.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
So we have one from Susan. I'm a 68-year-old female and became paraplegic 3.5 years ago.
Oh, goodness.
After a spontaneous bleed in my T1-4 spinal column.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Because of this, I now have severe osteoporosis, -5 in the hips.
Well, that's an unusual circumstance.
It
I don't know what caused that spontaneous bleed.
Yeah.
Very unusual situation. Because I guess there was what is called necrosis of the bone. It's called aseptic necrosis, which is a non-infectious cause of necrosis, which is death of the bone, possibly due to the bleed.
Yeah,
it's a very unusual situation. Yeah. I don't know what that's about.
Susan says, I broke my femur 2 weeks ago and I had to put a rod in it. The doctor said my bone was so soft she just had to push the rod in.
Very extreme form of osteoporosis.
Of course, they want me to start taking Forteo.
Do it.
But I'm afraid of this drug.
Do it. I mean, this is such an extreme case of osteoporosis that you're not going
to
get enough medicine.
She needs to take Forteo.
Vitamin D, calcium, Miproflavone, and even strontium.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you might take strontium in conjunction with the Forteo. That's, you know, it's kind of a uncontrolled experiment. But Forteo is a bone builder.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's such an extreme, unusual case of osteoporosis. It's not the run-of-the-mill type of osteoporosis here, and you need, you know, something that
paraplegic doesn't,
it may help the to store the bone. I mean, that, you know, such an extreme case, you would have to pull the trigger on a medication.
Wow. Susan, we hope you feel better soon.
You can take accompanying things, obviously, MK7, vitamin K. You know,
sure, make sure you're taking all of those
things. And adequate vitamin D. You know,
and they could work synergistically with the Forteo.
Yeah, it might help the medication
work better. But take the
Forteo
is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right.
I mean, yes, there's side effects associated with it. I mean, the biggest knock on Forteo is that you can't take it for more than 2 years because animal experiments have shown that it increases the risk of bone cancer. But there's not been a real explosion of bone cancer, a noticeable signal in the people taking Forteo, which there are now hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions, that they're all getting bone cancer. So that is a warning specifically, and that's why they limit its use to 2 years.
That makes sense. Okay. We have an email from Janice. I'm writing about my daughter's boyfriend who's 28 years old. After suffering from abdominal pain on his lower right side and vomiting, He had an ultrasound done which revealed a 2-millimeter polyp on his gallbladder.
That doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
That doesn't mean it's the cause of the problem.
Yeah. He had blood
By the
work
way,
done.
Two,
yeah.
He's right at the threshold for gallbladder removal.
Hmm.
Because more than, I think it's right now, the threshold is 2 millimeters. So,
oh, okay.
You know, they're probably not talking to him yet about gallbladder removal. But if it were okay. more, they would say, yeah, let's take it out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with 2 millimeters, what, like a quarter inch or, you know, it's very small.
Okay. He had blood work done, which
if
further
that.
Revealed a white blood cell count of 3.2, lower than.
That's a little low.
Yeah. So, Janice's questions are, what do you recommend as far as
okay.
diet and supplements?
So, you know what?
Are these issues related?
You know what? This reminds me of like a puzzle, you know, like a puzzle
yeah.
where they have like a picture, but there's like two dots.
Uh-huh.
There's not a lot of information.
Yeah.
So they say, create a beautiful portrait by joining the dots.
Mm.
But there's like 2-3 dots. But I need more dots to create the picture.
Exactly.
Or another way of looking at it is if it's like, what was that show like Jeopardy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they have like a few letters, they give you like, an A and an E and a C.
Yeah.
You can't make that, you can't
no,
make
you
an impression from that. You need more, is that Jeopardy? Yeah.
I think it's, no, that's Wheel of Fortune.
That's Wheel of Fortune.
That's Wheel of, Jeopardy is when they ask a question.
Oh, the question's right.
They give you the answer and
you're
say,
right.
what is.
I'm sorry, you're right.
Right.
It's Wheel of Fortune.
Right, right. It's Wheel of Fortune.
Well, some people are really good at like, you know, they get 3 letters and they can like,
figure out the whole
five expression,
word
yeah, right.
phrase or
yeah,
something like that.
But
yeah,
there's so little data here. Yeah. I mean, I have no idea how to link right. these things.
Another clue is he was taking an acid blocker for frequent heartburn, but recently stopped taking it. Could
well,
that
okay,
be?
So if he had gastrointestinal problems,
yeah.
it's likely he created dysbiosis, which is an imbalance in his intestinal bacteria. By the way, I think that you know that finding of the gallbladder thing
yeah.
is what we sometimes call an incidental loma. It's an incidental finding, which is not probably related.
Right.
It's just like, okay, we found that it's most gallbladder polyps are benign.
Yeah.
But if they start growing, then they come under the suspicion that they could be dangerous.
So he could have had the abdominal pain on the lower right side and vomiting from gastroenteritis.
Lower right side is absolutely not where the gallbladder is.
Right. Well,
you
there
know,
you go.
I mean, this
yeah.
is, you're getting a little idea of how we
yeah.
think about these problems, you know.
Exactly, exactly.
So,
well, the white blood count being low is some kind of infection.
Could be a viral infection. It could be just in
yeah.
this person's nature. I mean, I don't know what race
yeah.
this person is.
Right.
You know, we don't want to be stereotypical or you know, quote, racist.
Mm-hmm.
But certain nationalities and racial groups tend to have lower white blood cell counts, and it's not consequential.
True.
That's a little low, though, 3.2.
Yeah.
And it suggests
yeah.
maybe some form of immunosuppression or maybe a viral infection.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so we could say maybe this was a viral gastroenteritis.
Could be.
Maybe, you know, like
could
a norovirus
be.
Or some of these
right.
things don't even have names. See, we don't even know how to characterize them.
Yeah.
You know, this coronavirus, interesting, coming back to that, you know,
yeah.
we know specifically, we can test for that, but so many people get sick with stomach pain or this or that or the other thing, sore throats. We never know what they had because
true.
It's either they didn't get tested
right.
or the tests don't exist for whatever they had.
Yeah. And then it
not,
passed and then
not
they
everything
is, got up and went
is,
back to work.
We have the ability to confirm and,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or
okay.
or it would be just cost prohibitive. We'd have to run like $20,000 a test to like say, oh, it's this unusual you know, enterovirus,
mm-hmm.
you know, okay, well, we knew the person was sick, they vomited, they had diarrhea, and they took Pepto-Bismol, they were better, you know.
Right, right, right. So that polyp may have nothing to do, that polyp on his gallbladder may have nothing to do with
I think it's just an
things.
Incidental discovery.
Yeah, yeah. Janice, best of luck to your daughter's boyfriend. Okay.
I know we have a couple of other questions, but, you know, we sort of
yeah.
got, you want to just fit, we have, you can we, okay, let's do it.
Yeah, we've got one from Anne Marie. Anne Marie is a healthy 74-year-old female. She's not on any medication or anything. She's on an exercise
God
program.
Bless. God bless.
But she has an oblique tear in her medial meniscus on her left knee.
Okay.
And she's currently working with an orthopedic
that
sports
is so
medicine
common.
Physician. Yeah.
You know, it's almost, by
to
the way.
Strengthen the area
and
around
by the
knee.
Way, they just mm-hmm. did a study of not even older adults, but middle-aged adults.
Mm-hmm.
And of just a survey to see if people without symptoms had abnormalities on their knee MRIs.
Yeah.
And they found that the majority, you know, had something that could be categorized mm-hmm. as a tear or a injury or something, and especially to the meniscus.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's okay.
Yeah. Well, according to X-ray and MRI, I have very good cushion in the knee with almost no arthritis.
Good.
Maybe due to taking glucosamine chondroitin for some 25 years.
Great.
Along with MSN at your suggestion.
Right.
I hate the thought of surgery and risking removing the meniscus and risking osteoarthritis.
First of all, these days they don't completely remove the meniscus.
Okay.
They used to be the problem is they would remove the meniscus, then you'd be in trouble because you'd be bone on bone.
Yeah.
You know, so that's not a solution.
That's what she doesn't want.
So she may or may not be a surgical candidate if it doesn't get better. I'm the older you are, the less likely you are to see an improvement from knee surgery.
Hmm.
So that's why they're reluctant to operate on 74-year-olds. But surgery is not out of the question, and a skilled arthroscopic surgeon who's conservative will say, look, you've got a good chance of having a reduction in your discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I mean, yes, glucosamine, yes, curcumin, yes, collagen, yes, MSM, all these things that we're talking about.
Do you think
about.
That meniscus tear can then heal?
No,
with
not
these
always.
Regenerative
not always.
Treatments,
there's,
no.
With menisci, mm-hmm. plural of meniscus, there is a phenomenon called the red zone versus the white zone. Mm-hmm. And a good orthopedic surgeon can actually see mm-hmm. if you have a tear that is in the red zone, which means it's vascular, and there's a chance that the blood supply can repair it. But a tear in the white zone is impossible to heal because
no circulation.
There's no circulation.
Okay.
It's it's just not going to heal.
Yeah.
And so they can differentiate.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would suggest that you see, where's this person from? Do they say it all?
They don't say.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, go to like a really top place like the Hospital for Special Surgery, see someone who, mm-hmm. who is like the sports doctor for the U.S. Olympic, whatever, you know,
yeah.
soccer team or ski team or something
yeah.
like that. Get an opinion as to whether surgery can be beneficial
mm-hmm.
or not. I'm not mm-hmm. an ultra opposed to surgery. It's just that older people have bad arthritis of the knee.
Yeah.
Studies show that they don't benefit from arthroscopic surgery, that it's a waste of money. This is actually
yeah.
one of the reasons, you know, we're talking about our healthcare system is going to the crapper. You know,
yeah.
how can we save money by reducing unnecessary and counterproductive procedures such as arthroscopic surgery on people who already have bum knees that
mm-hmm.
can't really be properly repaired?
Mm-hmm.
But a good judicious surgeon can tell you you are a candidate or not a candidate.
Right.
You know, they're not just out to make money and operate on you unnecessarily.
Yes, yes. Wow, Anne Marie, keep up your good health and good luck with that.
Yeah.
Hope for your healing.
All right, well, we managed to get in all the questions, even though coronavirus takes a chunk out of our budgeted time.
Yeah, yeah.
So keep those questions coming. Radioprogram@AOL.com. Stay safe, stay well. Exercise whatever precautions you think are appropriate to your circumstance. Don't succumb to the fear, to the panic, to the anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
But be reasonable.
Yeah.
And take supportive supplements
mm-hmm.
to mm-hmm. offer somewhat of a bulwark against the potential downsides of this exposure. This too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
One of these days we'll. Won't even be talking about coronavirus.
Right.
It'll be
and
a rear
view
mirror.
Read the Intelligent Medicine newsletter for tips.
Right.
On how to deal with all this.
Yeah, we're going to have a series. I'm going to be, frankly, I'm going to be on vacation next week.
Yeah.
But we have a whole bunch of articles that I've prepared for you
mm-hmm.
In the newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to reprise some of our best shows on the subject of immunity.
Yes.
So
very important.
Keep listening because it'll be especially germane
mm-hmm.
At this time. Mm-hmm. And we'll try and keep you with a timely update when I return.
Okay. Have a great vacation, Dr. Hoffman.
Thank you very much. we'll miss you, but not too much.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.